becomes abundant. Have you ever experienced when God took something in your life that you just didn't seem to be very much, and He multiplied it more than you ever thought or dreamed of? It could be your time, it could be your talents, it could be your gift, it could be your finances, it could be family, whatever it may be, that you were just feeling very hopeless about it, and then God did something amazing. And you gave God credit for that. And you glorify Him because you know that you serve a God who is enough. He's plenty to do more than what we can even begin to imagine or dream of. There was this Christian lady, and every day she would get up and pray. She was very poor, didn't have very much. And she would get up and pray every day. And she had a neighbor who was an atheist. And he'd hear her praying out loud. And he'd think to himself, doesn't she know there's no God? There's no one listening to her that's going to hear those prayers. And every day she would pray. Every day. Matter of fact, sometimes he'd get so aggravated, he would go next door and just harass her. Just listen, lady, what are you praying for? There's no God that's going to answer your prayer. And just this on and on for a long time between this Christian lady and this atheist neighbor. One day, the lady got up, and she was out of groceries, and she began to call out to God, Lord, would you please provide the groceries that I need? Would you please send food for me? And God, I already thank you what you're going to do. She had faith. And that atheist neighbor heard that prayer. He said, you know what? I'm tired of this. I'm going to teach her a lesson. I'm going to teach her that there's no God. He went to the store and bought bags of groceries. Came, put those on her front porch, rang the doorbell, and went and hid the bushes. The lady comes out, and there's bags of groceries on her front porch, and she begins to praise God for what He did. The guy jumps out from behind the bushes and said, ma'am, you can quit praying. God didn't buy those groceries. I did. And she was just overwhelmed with joy, praising God. Thank you, Lord, for meeting my need. And she looked at that atheist. She said, I knew God would meet my needs one way or the other. I just didn't know He was going to get the devil to pay for it. You see, the Lord can do amazing things with little or nothing as long as we have faith to believe that He will come through for us. I love what John Piper said. He says, God is always doing 10,000 things in our life, but you may be aware of only 3 of them. God is always working, but so much of what He's doing, we don't even know about. We're so unaware of how God is orchestrating our lives for us and how God is meeting our needs. John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. A very familiar occurrence where we read here today. Matter of fact, this one miracle is recorded in all 4 Gospels. It's that important. And I want us to look at an aspect of this where Jesus feeds the 5,000. So let's read together. And after these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias. A large crowd followed Him because they saw the signs which He was performing on those who were sick. When Jesus went on up on the mountain, and there He sat down with His disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. Therefore, Jesus, lifting up His eyes and seeing the large crowd was coming to Him, said to Philip, where are we to buy bread so that we may eat, so that these may eat? And this He was saying to test him, for He Himself knew what He was intending to do. And Philip answered Him, 200 denarii, or about a a half a year's work. Worth of bread is not sufficient for them. For everyone is to receive a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these for so many people?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in this place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated, likewise also of the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were filled, he said to the disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, so that nothing will be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Therefore, when the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." Let's pray together. Father God, today, Lord, turn our attention to this very familiar account that you had with this multitude of people and your disciples. Lord, there's something for us to learn here. Even in our time and our day in 2020, Lord, there's something that you want to teach us about who we are and how we look to you, or who we are and maybe how we do not look to you for your provision in our life. God, teach us today by your power and the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. So the account of Jesus feeding 5,000 is realistically about 20,000 people, because there were also women and children there. So Jesus is there, sitting on the mountainside or a hillside, high enough above the people where they could hear him and see him. And there's 20,000 people gathered around him. In this group, we see there's various people, and we want to look at a few of them this morning. The first group we want to look at is actually the people themselves who gathered around. They had a lot of needs, so the people came with needs. We see in verse 1 and 2, "After these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee." Why was he doing that? He was looking for a place to rest, because he had been teaching all along on one side, on the northern and western side, and he wanted to go to the eastern side to catch a little rest, to catch a break. But the people followed him along the seashore because they had witnessed him heal so many, and they were excited that Jesus was in their area, and they wanted to hear more of what Jesus had, and there were more sick that they wanted to heal, for him to heal. So a large crowd followed him because they saw the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. So they crossed over to the other side to look for a rest, and what God did was amazing. He sent the people with him. There was no rest for him that day. And Jesus went up to that mountain, and he sat down with his disciples. This crowd, there were thousands gathered, thousands. And they were moving closer up the hill toward Jesus. What were some of the needs that these people had? Well, there were spiritual needs. The people were starving for grace. You imagine that many of the people who were ill back then, who were possessed with demons or had diseases, the Jews thought that they were demon-possessed, and that their parents had done some sin, and that they were just, that was it for the rest of their life. They were living this way, and eventually they would die and meet their fate. There was no hope in their eyes. There was mental illness and physical illness. So many things going on. And some had been caught in sin. So there were some spiritual needs there. There were spiritual needs because they were caught in sin, and there was no grace. There was no forgiveness. There was nothing that would set them free from where they had been in their past. They were looking for Jesus. They were looking for some hope, physically and spiritually. They were needing help. And Jesus was the one. Jesus was the one who was giving them the help and the hope that they needed. Oh, there were so many needs. The people craved more from Jesus and were in no hurry to leave. I wish that was church today. I wish today that people would come to church looking and craving more of Jesus and not in a hurry to leave. I've been in a church like that. I've been in one where they didn't care how long they stayed. They worshiped. They were just there. You remember some of you in the olden days, way back a few years back, church may have been 2 or 3 hours long. Now we got to hurry up and get out before the football game starts. Or we need to hurry up and go somewhere. Preacher, we want it as short as you can get it and say as much as you can in that time. It's called an hour of worship now, mostly. But these people gathered around Jesus, and they did not care how long they had to stay. They were there because they knew that this man, Jesus, was different. They had been there, and had been there a while, and it was getting mealtime. So the crowd now was approximately up to about 20,000 people, and Jesus had compassion on them, and he wanted to meet their physical need of hunger. So they had been there so long, now it was time for dinner on the ground. And nobody had brought potluck anything. There was no potato salad. There was no jambalaya. There was no gumbo. No one had brought anything. At least we think not. The second thing we need to see is not only that the people have great needs, we see that Jesus taught his disciples through a test. So here Jesus is, the greatest teacher who ever lived, on a mountainside teaching 20,000 people for an extended period of time. They're growing hungry, and his disciples are there sitting on the mountainside with him. And it's a teachable moment for them. How many times do parents take an opportunity for a teachable moment even with their children? It's like, oh, no, get in the car. Let's go. We're done here. Jesus was taking an opportunity to teach his disciples something. And I believe we'll find ourselves fitting in to this place. Listen, we may not come craving and starving for Jesus because we're here and we're getting filled every week. But we can find ourselves in the place of these two disciples. We see in verse 5 and verse 6, Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, where can we buy some bread to feed all these people? He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Jesus is God himself in the flesh. He already knew how he was going to feed these 20,000 people, but he was testing his disciples. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. Yet in a teachable moment for his disciples, he had to question them. Jesus addressed Philip in verse 5, says, where can we buy bread so that these may eat? Now, why did he ask Philip that? Well, Philip was from that area around Tiberias. So, you know, we could take the practical standpoint where he knew all the good eating places. He knew where Cafe de la Salle was at. He knew the good places to find some food. Well, we could take it like that. But see, Jesus didn't look at just the practical. He looked at the spiritual. There was something going on in Philip that Jesus knew. And he wanted to address that even in this area. Jesus questioned Philip for the reasons, being from that area, but more so, Philip was still one who doubted. Philip was a pessimistic guy. You ever meet some pessimistic Christians? Meet them a lot. Matter of fact, I've even been pessimistic many times. But Philip had this problem with not really trusting to see who Jesus really was. How many times, Christian, in your life have you doubted God? You've got this situation in your life. It doesn't look like you're going to come through. There's more month at the end of the money. Doesn't look like the groceries are going to be stretched. and you're looking for some practical way out there to meet that need rather than saying, God, I trust you that you're going to provide. It doesn't mean we need to be lazy, but our faith oftentimes becomes more in ourselves than in God. And sometimes we can identify with Philip. Philip did not look to Jesus as the bread of life. He did not see Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. He did not comprehend that Jesus was more than enough to transform their problem, to transform their inadequacy to abundance. Philip, verse 7, answered him. Listen to the way he answered him. He said, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive even a little. Just a bite. Philip is only thinking of what he knows and what he can see. He's like, there's 20,000 people out here. With all 12 of us working for half a year, we can't earn enough money to buy enough bread for all these people to have just a bite. Isn't that like us? We get so carnal, we get so practical, we don't even think about God so often in situations. We become a Philip. We start looking at what we have. Oh, this is what I've got. Listen, I can work all this overtime and it might do, and it might, I don't know if it's going to be enough. My. How many times we go without because we're trying to do it ourselves rather than looking to God for the answer. How often we do it. Christian, we all do. There are moments in our life when we don't have the faith to trust what Jesus Christ says he would do. Listen, he is our salvation. He is our sustainer. He is our provider. But yet we still look at ourselves like Philip. We just won't trust who Jesus says he is. We won't trust the hand of God in our life. We are the children of God. He provides for us. Does it mean we need to stay in our lazy boy and not do anything? No. But it means that God will meet us when we take a step of faith and do and trust him. Philip is only thinking of what he knows and sees. There's no faith in his response. He's telling Jesus that even if they work for months, they would only have enough money to buy a bite of bread. Philip is so pessimistic. He has not yet learned that Jesus is Lord. And Christians, we need to learn that. That Jesus really is Lord. That he really is in control. That he really does love us. That he really does care about us. That we are his child and he does provide for us. So that Jesus is more than enough to meet the needs of his people. Philip could not see beyond the problem. So Jesus is testing his disciples. He posed a question, where can we buy bread for them? And Philip jumped right on it. Man, we can't. There's not enough money around here to buy bread for all these people. But listen to what this other disciple, Andrew. Andrew's a little more positive about the situation. Andrew knew who Jesus was. He believed Jesus would provide. He saw the miracles that Jesus had brought. He knew the history that Jesus had as the miracle worker. And he understood and he trusted the Jesus that was sitting right there beside them. Andrew heard the question that he posed to Philip. He heard that. I don't know what he was thinking, but I do know this. He went looking for food. He knew that Jesus, just something in Jesus' hands could be a miracle. Something. Show a little faith here. Respond in faith. That's what Andrew did. Andrew had faith and he believed Jesus. Andrew believed what Jesus had done before, that he can easily do it again. Oh, Christian, when we doubt, when we say that I don't know how we're going to meet the bills this month, I don't know how we're going to eat this month, How many times have God let you down already? You know what, Anita and I, 32 years of marriage, I can look back at times that we didn't know how bills were going to be paid. Let me tell you what, $5 at the end of the month in the checking account. We first got married, it was rough. But I can tell you, standing before you, that never, ever did God let us down. Every bill was paid. There was always something to eat. There was always food in the refrigerator, in the pantry. And it was sometimes it was people bringing groceries over. Those first few years were rough. But let me tell you, God always provided, and he worked through his people to do so. We used to laugh, and we kind of get frustrated. You know, you get that income tax check in, and you get a little rebate from the federal government because you paid too much in. It's your money anyway. It's like you get that money in. It's like, man, you start thinking, well, we can take a little vacation. We can go, you know, we can go away for a couple of days, this and that. And then you go out there and you turn, click, 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 the car won't crank. Or are you coming home from the grocery store and you have a blowout on the car? You realize it's frustrating because you didn't get to do what you wanted to do with your money. But God provided it when you would need it the most. It's just our outlook on it, our attitude. Are we a Philip or are we an Andrew? Are we a Philip that's very pessimistic about things, just looking at the practical? Or are we going to be an Andrew that whatever's in Jesus' hands becomes a miracle? Whatever that he touches in our life, whatever we just surrender over to him, becomes something very special. Verse 8 and 9, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad, a young boy, here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are these for so many people? Now listen. Andrew wasn't super spiritual. He wasn't jumping up and running around. Oh, the Lord's going to provide. Oh, we're so, you know, we're too blessed to be stressed. He wasn't acting like that. He just knew that something in Jesus' hand. Show some faith, a little faith. Show some faith and see what God does with it. See what the Lord does with it. Andrew spotted this young boy out with his lunch. It wasn't much, but it was something to bring to Jesus. Even Andrew was realistic that the small lunch was inadequate to find to feed the entire crowd. Yet, he also knew that even a small amount in Jesus' hands was a feast. Let me repeat that. Even a small amount in Jesus' hands was a feast. We see Andrew trusted Jesus to provide and meet their needs as he was witness to Jesus doing it so many times before. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 tells us, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Some of us Christians don't have the faith to see God meet the basic things in our life. How can we be children of God? How can we claim to be Christians but not trust the one who saved us? Not trust the one who sustains us? Not trust the one who provides for us? Oh, Jesus says just a little faith. Just a little faith. Billy Graham said it this way. We can be certain that God will give us the strength and resources we need to live through any situation in life that he ordains. The will of God will never take us where the grace of God cannot sustain us. Oh, what a precious, precious word from the great evangelist Billy Graham. We see a third character here. So we saw the crowd with all the needs. We saw Philip, who was kind of doubtful and pessimistic about the whole situation. We saw Andrew, who just worked on a little bit of faith and put something in Jesus' hand to go with. We also see the third character here, this young boy and his meager little lunch. This young boy. Verse 9 tells us there was a lad who had 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Not exactly what we would call a great lunch. See, Andrew finds this 12 or 13-year-old boy with his lunch for the day. 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Dried fish at that. They were probably likely the size of minnows. So you imagine a little small fish. We're not talking about the big bass. We're not talking about saltwater fishing. We're not talking about, no, minnows, dried, sardines. This is a typical lunch, though, for a poor boy who went to work for his family to help for a living. So there was nothing out of the ordinary that this boy had in his basket. It was a common lunch, and the barley loaves were little bitty. Listen, we're not talking a loaf of bread. We're not talking Hawaiian King rolls here. We're talking little disc of bread and 2 little minnows. It's likely that he had been sent out to work, and this large crowd was gathering to Jesus. You imagine this young boy, 12, 13 years old, going out to work and see this huge crowd walking by. Now, we don't know if he was just a curious boy and kind of got sidetracked, looked to see if his mom and daddy were looking and kind of just got in with the crowd to see where they were going. Or if he just walked out on the street and they just walked up and he kind of got swept away. But he was in that crowd. And what's more amazing is that Jesus knew he was in that crowd. And he knew he was going to be in that crowd. Don't you think Jesus knows what you're going through? Don't you think that he knew ahead of time before it even happened that was going to, Jesus knew how he was going to feed these 20,000. He already knew it. Jesus knows how he's going to meet your needs. He's just waiting for you to respond in faith. That's it. He's just waiting for you to give him that faith and put something in his hands to go with. Either way, this boy got swept away or he just went in curiosity. Jesus knew he was there. The bread and fish were barely enough to quench the hunger of this preteen's appetite. If you have growing boys, you understand that. Preteen only in the teens. They're in the pantry all the time. Refrigerator light goes out quite often because it's open and close, open and close. Cereal bowl went from this to that. We understand. So 5 little barley loaves and 2 minnows, dried minnows or sardines, wasn't a whole lot to feed this growing boy who worked. Just enough to quench his hunger for a little while. Yet in the hands of Jesus, it would feed multitudes. Multitudes. This poor boy in the crowd, by divine appointment, with only himself and his lunch, he was dirty. He was probably shy. And not looked upon as a somebody in the community. He was among the people daily working. He was poor and lowly and looked over by society. Yet Jesus was going to use them in an amazing way. His life would be forever changed that day. That little boy is recorded in all 4 Gospels of the Bible that we're reading today. That little boy with his small lunch. Christians, you may think what you have is nothing. You may think it's not very much to offer Jesus. You look at your skill set, you look at your talents, you look at your gifts, and you think, man, God could never use me. Do you know? God is looking for you. With a little bit of faith and a little bit of something to put in his hands. Maybe it's your financial resources. Maybe you feel they're so small that if you didn't give, nobody even missed it. See, giving is not really about how big a budget you make. It's about the faith that you show. It's always been about the faith that you show. You put it in God's hands with faith, you'll be amazed what your little bit does. But you could put a whole lot and put it in there with no faith, and it doesn't go anywhere. It's trusting Jesus. Realize that this young boy, God used him. And God wants to use us, our gifts, our talents, our finances, all of the things, the resources that we have, to see if we would trust him to be God over them, and that whether we will give him whatever we have to be used and multiplied. Whatever. Are you going to give God your talent? Will you give God your skills? Will you give God the knowledge that you've acquired over the years to be used for his glory, to be used to encourage his people, to further the kingdom? Will you use the resources, the financial resources that God has entrusted to your care, to build up the kingdom so the gospel message goes out? Or you see, God's just waiting on us. Whatever we have, you gain by giving. Empty yourself of that thing that God has given you so that God can fill you up. You think that your resources have more power within your abilities, and you're wrong. If that little boy would have said, "No, Andrew, give me back my lunch," and went on back to work, it had never been mentioned. This sermon would have never happened. His lack of faith would have made 20,000 starve and broke up the party. No fellowship time. But he didn't. See, he didn't pull back. Even though he knew his mom and daddy wouldn't understand, he saw what Jesus had done. He heard about it. And he gave that lunch over willingly. See, the faith, I don't know how this is going to happen, but I'm going to give it. And he gave that little lunch over. And in the hands of Jesus, the rest is biblical history. You see, the fourth thing that we see as we're closing is that Jesus transforms this inadequate to abundance. This little inadequate lunch, probably not much for a little boy, and definitely nothing for a grown man or 20,000 people. Jesus transforms that into abundance. We see in verse 10 to verse 13, Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, and about 5,000. So we understand with women and children, it's about 20,000. And Jesus took the loaves and giving thanks, he distributed to those who were seated, and likewise also the fish, as much as they wanted. So get this picture. This little basket of food, this little bread and this little fish, Jesus tells these 20,000 people to sit down. You imagine the noise and the mashing the grass down. I wonder if the sheep around could think, "That's good grass, man. What you sitting on that for?" The bread and the fish, Jesus lifted up and gave thanks to God for that little bit. And he gave it to his disciples to pass around. Now we have to imagine. So they begin to pass a basket around, the bread and the fish. Probably two separate baskets. First one took a little bit, the second one took a little bit, and the third one took a little bit, and the fourth one, the fifth one, the tenth one, 20th, 1,000, 10,000, 15,000, 20,000 person took. Wait, there was only five little pieces of bread, and two little sardines. But everybody was pulling out of that basket from one person to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, to the very end. And they ate so much that they were full. Verse 12 says, when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments so that nothing will be lost. Leftover fragments? These people didn't just get a bite of food. They were filled. Grown adults and women and children, grown men, filled on a lunch that could barely fill a boy. Why? How could that happen? Because it was in the hands of Jesus. Because it was in the hands of Jesus. Because there was a disciple that showed a little bit of faith. And there was a boy who showed a little bit of faith who gave what he had. Listen to church, we need some people who just give what you got. Just give what you have. You may not think it's much. You may say, the church really don't need. Listen, God can take anything that you give in faith. Not out of guilt. Not out of felt obligation, but out of faith. And what he does will be a miracle, will be totally amazing. And he's just asking his people to show some faith. Don't be a Philip. Don't be pessimistic. Don't just look at what you have in your hands. Don't just look at what you can get your hands on. No. He's already given you. United States of America is the wealthiest nation in the world. In the world. We have a little. We have some of the most gifted and talented people in all of this area. We have something to give. But we have to step out in faith and say, Lord, here I am. We have to be that little lad and be a giver. We have to be one who contributes. Think about it. If you're thinking about how little you have, maybe we have so little and we give so little because we have so little faith. There are many Christians with the faith of Philip who just see the problem but exhibit no faith in Christ to bring resolution. Just looking around for man's answer, and God is testing them to trust him. Is God testing you to trust him way beyond what you ever thought? You know the Holy Spirit right now is testing you to see how you will respond in faith to Jesus Christ. Listen, God is needing some Andrews who believe Christ Jesus will multiply, will bless in abundance what we have entrusted to his care. Listen, and God is calling all of us, challenging all of us and testing us to be like this poor lad, to be a giver. This boy gave what he had, trusting that Jesus was going to do something. Jesus was going to do. Not us, but Jesus was. Today, that's a cry out to us. This little boy gave everything he had. I always wondered. So the little boy gave his little lunch. Jesus blessed it. He fed 20,000 people. But the verse says that they picked up 12 baskets of fragments. What did they do with those 12 baskets? Now, the Bible doesn't say. I'm just going to go off on a limb and say, I wonder if these 12 disciples didn't help that little boy bring that home to his poor family. They said, because of your faith, look what great things we've brought back to you. Because of a little faith. Because of a little faith. And that family was blessed. He gave all he had. Jesus multiplied for the 20,000. But it's very likely that he multiplied for that little boy's family who gave what they had. verse 14. We say all that because here's what Jesus was doing. Verse 14 says, many became followers in faith of Jesus Christ that day, saying, this is truly the prophet who has come to the world. They believed who Jesus said that he was. Many thousands followed. Followed. Because Jesus took a little faith and a little subject in his hand and did something wonderful. The miracle helped them see that this Jesus, he's the one that we've been hearing about. He's that prophet. He's that Messiah. He is that Savior. What God can do through you, through me, we just give what we have. So God, here it is. It ain't much. But it's better in your hands, and you'll do more with it than I can. Let's pray together. Father God, today, Lord, we love you. God, we thank you for what you have done in our life. God, history has proven over and over again how many times you've met our needs. How many times you have provided for us. And God, we get so short-sighted. Sometimes we have faith amnesia. To remember those times in the years past that we trusted you and you came through. And God, maybe we're facing a big challenge right now in our personal life, maybe in our family life. And we're thinking, where do I go from here? How's there an answer? Father, today I just pray for some Andrews and for some young boy. That type of faith. Just to say, here is what I have. And I want to get it to Jesus. Here's my gift. Here's my talent. Here's my resources. Here's my problem. Here's what I'm dealing with. And just trust you to be Lord over it. Thank you, Jesus. For always coming through. And testing us to be the people of faith that we say that we are. In Jesus' name, amen.